Amen. Again, it's good to have everyone tuning in, watching there on Facebook and YouTube or whatever you may be watching from. There in your living room or vehicle or at work, if you're able to do that, we appreciate you tuning in. I know what some of you all are thinking, just to clear things up. No, Pastor Dale hadn't got younger and better looking. I'm not him. I'm Pastor BJ Short. For those of you that aren't familiar with me, we want to continue to pray for our pastor. His health issues with the shingles, but God's good and God's with him, and just continue to pray that his health would improve, and he'll be able to be here Sunday morning. That's his plan, is to be able to preach in the drive-in service on Sunday morning. I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 13. As you're turning there, I just want to bring a couple prayer requests from our church family and friends. Again, as I mentioned, to continue to pray for our pastor and his health and others that are dealing with health issues in our church, and continue to pray for Steve Butler and the Sowers family, as we know his mom passed away, and we want to continue to lift them up in prayer. And many of us are aware also that Tony Campbell passed away, I believe it was Saturday, and so we want to pray for Kirsten and Brenda and the rest of the family there, continue to pray for them. And his arrangements would be on Fountain Sons, and this is, of course, the service would just be for family, but Kirsten had told us that we can mention, what time is it? 2:00 will be his service, and it will be live streamed on the Fountain Sons website if anyone would like to tune into that to participate and to be able to see that. If you would go on at 2:00 on Tony Campbell's obituary, there will be a link that would pop up at 2:00 that you'll be able to click on and be able to watch that. And they understand that many of us aren't able to be there, as this is just for the family. So they'll be in prayer for that family. And also, for the Sabin family and for the Devlins, we know that little Evan, he was 15, but I remember him as little Evan, had a tragic accident on Monday, and so we want to pray for that family as he passed away from that, and we want to pray that God would give grace to that family. And also, many of us are aware of or know the Bean family, Butch and Loretta Bean, and Loretta Bean passed away yesterday. So we want to pray for their children, Tiffany and Rachel and Becky, that we, many of us, grew up and went to church with them, and we want to pray for that family. And I believe both the Sabine and the Bean information would be on Preddy's website. So if you want to send a note or send flowers, that would be on there. So be in prayer for these families. Be in prayer for one another, our church family. There's many, many people hurting, many people, as we know, there's people that have lost work. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of people hurting, and God's still in control. And so we want to continue to pray and trust God. And I believe sometimes storms in life and things that happen are just get our attention. We're going to actually talk about some storms and our message tonight, but I'm going to pray before I read the scripture, and then we'll get into our message. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do want to thank you, God, for being God. Lord, there's so much uncertainty in our world today, but one thing is certain, that you are God, and you are good, and you are in control, Lord. That's a lot of things that are certain, Lord. Your word is sure, and we can trust in it with our whole heart, God. I pray for our church family. I pray for our state, our country, God, our world, the missionaries that are all around this world trying to reach. And Lord, we see many, many people are on lockdown and different things that are happening with this health issue that's going on around in our world, God. And I pray that you would just be with them, Lord, empower them, as even our church, Lord, as we're going through in our live service that we're on Facebook Live and different ways, God. But we know that your power is still great, God, and you can still do work in our hearts and lives, even through this form a ministry, God. I pray that you would bless tonight, Lord. I pray for those families that I mentioned, God, those that are grieving and hurting, God, and rightfully so, God, as loved ones, they've had to say goodbye, some unexpectedly, God, and I pray that you would, Lord, just your presence would be real and your grace, Lord, as we know, is sufficient, God, and I pray that you would just flood them with your grace and your love, God, and I pray that you'd help us to show love through our lives, God, and I pray that you would just show yourself strong and show yourself real. I pray for our pastor, Lord. We thank you for him. Lord, you've given us a great man of God, Lord. He's given his life to you. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen him, Lord, and continue to encourage him. And Lord, when it be your will, Lord, we know that you'd receive the glory and the honor, Lord. You would lift him up and allow him to, Lord, I pray that he be allowed to be able to preach on Sunday morning as we would gather here in your house, Lord. I pray that you bless the driving service, Lord. Help people, more people, to be encouraged to come out, that we can gather together and assemble, Lord, at your house. We might not be in this building, God, but we know the church is your people, Lord. We're the body. We're the church, Lord, and we can gather at your house. Lord, again, be with me tonight, Lord, in this message you've given me, God. I pray that you'd empower it. I pray that you'd use your word, Lord, to speak to hearts, to speak to lives. Lord, do a work in our hearts, Lord, that only you can do. Use me now, I pray, Lord. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining me in prayer this evening. As I mentioned, you're there in Hebrews chapter 13. I trust that you're there. I'm going to read two verses here. In Hebrews 13, the Bible says in verse 5 and verse 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That phrase there that many of us have memorized, we many of us go to it often, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I want to talk a little bit about that phrase. We know that that's true. We know as Christians, God's presence, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. So we know God is it'd be impossible. If you're a Christian and he dwells within us, it'd be impossible for him to leave us. But there are times when he might not manifest himself. He might not manifest himself. He'll be there. He'll be present, but not seen, so to speak, not where we don't know he's there. And I want to talk tonight about don't miss God in the storm. Don't miss God in the storm. When Pastor was preaching Sunday morning here at the drive-in service, and some people that weren't able to be there, you might have joined us online. And if you weren't there and didn't join us online and you're tuning in tonight, I encourage you to go back and watch the service through the live stream. Even though it's not live, you could still go back and watch some of the older services. I encourage you to watch that as he was preaching out of Mark chapter number 6. And we see there in a passage of Scripture, we'll turn there here in a minute, where the disciples were in a storm and Jesus was walking on the water, and the Bible says he would have passed by them. And so it got me thinking about different passages of Scripture, and I want to bring us to different passages of Scripture tonight where Jesus was present, where God was present, but could have easily been missed, and that was one of those cases. As I mentioned, he's always with us. He says here in Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and we can count on God's word. We can count on God's word that he is with us. When we're in the storm, we can know that by his word, but there's sometimes when you just might not feel he's there. You might not see him there where God just didn't manifest himself to us. And I'm reminded of the story of the young child, maybe 5 or 6 years old, a young child that was scared in the dark. He woke up in the middle of the night and was scared in the dark, as many young children are, and started crying out to mom and dad, or calling his mama. That's what children do when they're scared, right? Or something wrong. Mama, mama, mama. He cried to mama, mama come running in. She woke up, come running into the room, turned the light on, And he said, "I'm scared, Mom, I'm scared, the dark." And the mom calmed him down, talked with him, and she says, "You know, it's okay. There's nothing here. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be scared of." She said, "I'm going to go back to bed. But remember, God's with you. God's always with you." And so she walked out, turned the light off, and the little boy's there. A little bit of comfort knowing God's with him. But there in the dark, as he started talking to God and started praying, said, "God, I know you're there, but I sure would appreciate it if you didn't move." As we can understand where the little boy was coming from, he was scared, and he's like, he knew if something was moving in the dark there, it would scare him even more. He said, "God, I sure appreciate it if you didn't move." But to us, that's the opposite. We need God to manifest himself, don't we? We need God to show himself in our lives, especially in the storms, especially in those dark times of our life. We need to know God's there. And we can know God's there by his word, but we need to feel his presence. We need God to manifest himself, and God does. God manifests himself to us, and we read in the scripture over and over and over where God will make himself known. He'd manifest himself, but there were times, as I mentioned, and we're going to go through a couple times in the scripture, where God was there, but they didn't know it was him. And it could have easily been that God would have went on and God would have went right by them and they never would have known. And we'll see that from the scripture. He could have easily been missed. I got four accounts that we're going to talk about tonight, and then we're going to pray. And I pray that you would go through these passages of scripture and that you would read them and meditate on it a little more, just study it a little more. The first time, as I mentioned, was Mark chapter number 6. In Mark chapter number 6, that was the story of the disciples on the sea. And we'll take some time to look on that. The second time that I have written down that God brought to my remembrance was the two disciples after Jesus was crucified, and actually after he rose from the dead, but they didn't know that. Those two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walked with them, and he didn't know it was him. And that's found in Luke chapter number 24, and we'll look there. The third time was after Jesus rose from the dead again, and this was Mary Magdalene. And she was at the tomb, and she talked with Jesus and did not know it was him. She thought he was a gardener. And that's found in John chapter number 21. And the fourth time I had written down, and this wasn't so much I didn't know it was him, but it was a time that in the midst of the storm that Jesus appeared. And this was in Daniel chapter number 3, and it was the Hebrew children in the fire. We're just going to take some time and look at these four events and see what God can have for us to learn from those. I want us to look at that and just see what we can learn from this so we don't miss God's presence, so we don't miss God manifesting himself. It would be a shame for God to be there, because God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we go through trouble and trial and storm in our lives and not know that God was there all the time. That would be such a tragedy to live your life. And there's many, many Christians that go through things and they feel all alone, but God's there all the time, but you just wasn't where you ought to be, or you wasn't watching, you wasn't listening, you wasn't allowing God to manifest himself to you. And we're going to look again at what we can learn from this. So Mark chapter number 6, I trust you would be there, and maybe you want to mark these spots as we may go back and forth to those. Mark chapter number 6. And we're just going to look again at this passage of scripture. If you were there Sunday morning, again, you read it and you heard this, and Pastor even alluded to it a little bit. But these are times, and there's some times in the scripture in the Bible where we're not going to know everything. We're not going to understand everything the first time you read it. And there's times in the scripture that sometimes things just stand out to me that it makes me stop and say, "What? What did you say, God? I don't understand. I don't get it." And so, and those times in the scripture, I like to underline them in my Bible. And I know not everyone does, but I underline things in my Bible that next time I read through that scripture will get my attention to say, "Look at this. Look at this." And those times when I don't understand what God's trying to get us to understand, I will underline it. So next time when I get to that passage of scripture, it would get me to pray again, "God, will you reveal this to me now?" And not every time God does. God chooses when to open his scripture to us, who chooses what parts that God wants to teach us. And there are times like when this passage of scripture, when Pastor read it, that's one of the passages of scripture that I have underlined in my Bible that just doesn't quite make sense to me. And that's found in verse 48. But let's start in verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, to go over to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And he said unto them, and he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea. And look, he would have passed by them. But when they saw him, walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and they were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. I mean, God, there's nothing in the scripture that's there by accident. So God wants us to see something there. And it obviously says he would have passed by them. They were there toiling. He walked unto them, but he would have passed by them. So that was one of those times when I marked down it was close. They could have missed him. He could have been there present. They're in that storm. They're toiling. They're struggling. And he could have walked on by. And they never know that the presence of God was there with them. Luke chapter number 24. We're going to go back and look at these just to remind us. Luke chapter number 24, this was the second account, as we're going to look at that. The Bible says, and this was again after Jesus had rose from the dead, and it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things that had happened. They were talking about the crucifixion, how Jesus was died and was buried. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should know him, not know him. So we see there that, again, he was there, he was present, but they had no idea. And in verse 27, let's get down to verse 27, and it says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made, and look at this, he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And so again, I see where they could have easily missed him. They didn't know it was him. And as they got to their house, Jesus was about to keep going. He's about to keep walking. He's about to start leave them without them ever knowing who he was. John chapter number 21. I'm going to go through all these accounts, and then we're going to pull a couple points for us to take home. Or I guess you all are home, so I'll take home and y'all keep it with you while you're at home. John chapter 21. John chapter 20. I believe is where I'm at. John chapter 20 and verse 11. This is where we find Mary Magdalene. She said, Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, because this is where she found the tomb empty, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I knew not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seeketh thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if he had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Again, we see a third time where Jesus was there, and someone didn't know it was him. Someone didn't know it was him. And then I mentioned the three Hebrew children, and that's found in Daniel. Let's just turn back there. And then we'll pull some points from this. Daniel chapter number 3. And we know the story of this, where Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of gold and told everyone to bow down to this statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not bow down. The king said, well, who's the God that's going to save you from me? And they said, verse 16, we are not careful. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the midst, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And so this was the fourth time that I wrote down that Jesus was there. He could have easily been missed. Now the king there, we see he recognized who he was. He recognized who he was. So let's take what we can learn from these. Point number one, I've seen in each one of these accounts, God's presence came in a time of trouble. God's presence came in a time of trouble. See, the disciples were in the storm. They were in trouble. They were toiling. They were rowing. They were in the midst of that storm and working their hardest to do it on their own. And God's presence came in the midst of that storm for them. Mary and the Emmaus disciples, their storm was the death of Christ. They were both, in both of those accounts, their heart was broken. They were grieving. And God's presence came unto them. And of course, the Hebrew children, well, they were in a fire. That's a pretty big storm there. They were thrown into a fiery furnace. And God's presence was there with them. And there's other accounts. Again, we're going to talk about these four accounts, but you'll see over and over and over and over in the scripture, through the storms of life, where God was there and God showed up and God made his presence known and God's power was strong. You can just name them off one after another. But we're going to focus on these. So that's number one. In each of these accounts, God's presence came in a time of trouble. And these accounts, and again, there's others, but in these accounts that God brought to my remembrance that I studied and I wrote down here, they were where they should have been. They were where they should have been. Trouble came, as Pastor mentioned when he pointed that out Sunday morning. They were doing what they're supposed to do, and trouble came. They were doing what they're supposed to do. So trouble came, but God also came. God was also there. So that's the second point I want us to look at and to focus on. In that time of trouble, they were doing what they were supposed to. They were where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to be doing, and God showed up. God showed up. Jesus put the disciples on the boat, did he not? He said he constrained them to the boat. The disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, they were there in Jerusalem for the Sabbath day, which was a holy day. They were worshiping. They were doing what they're supposed to do. That's why they were there. Mary, she was there at the tomb to honor Jesus, to bring the spices and show respect to the body of Jesus. And of course, the three Hebrew children, they were standing against worshiping other gods and worshiping man. They were taking a stand for right. They were doing what they should have done. So in these cases, again, God's presence came in a time of trouble. And God's presence came when they were doing what they should have been doing or where they should have been. They were where they were supposed to be, doing what they should have been doing. God's presence came. Some people think, you know, God's our butler, or God's our maid, or God's our servant, and God's supposed to do everything we tell him to do. Just as soon as I pray, God has to do it. Almost like a genie in a bottle. Your wish is my command. That's not God. That's not God. So you think you can walk away from God or disobey God, and then God will be there when you're looking for him. Anytime you want him to be there and you want some things from God, you can just go to God and he's there. We see in these cases, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were where they're supposed to be. And God doesn't work that way. God doesn't just let us sin and do wrong and walk away from him and then turn and say, God, I need this. Bam, there it is. God doesn't owe us a thing. He doesn't owe me anything. If God never gave me anything the rest of my life here on this earth, God would still be God. God would still be good. God would still be right. He's God. He's holy. He doesn't owe us anything. But can you imagine going through life without God's presence? Going through life, this life that we have, that the book of Job in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And can you imagine us living that life that's full of trouble without the presence of God? Again, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but living through life without God manifesting his presence to us, living through life without knowing God's there, as we've seen in this passage, different passages of Scripture where God says, I would have went on. I would have went by. I would have kept going. And living life and going through troubles and going through these things of life without the presence of God. The saddest verse in the Bible, Genesis 4, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. Where Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And there's people going through times, going through troubles, going through the difficulties of life, and that's the way you've lived. You've walked out on the presence of the Lord, and you face it seemingly alone. You're facing the troubles, and you're facing life seemingly alone. Again, we know God says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but you don't feel them. You can't feel those everlasting arms around you. You can't feel the grace of God overflowing you because, like Cain, you might have walked away. You don't feel the presence of God anymore. And I plead with you, come back to God. I plead with you, mend your relationship. God's quick to forgive. We know God says in 1 John 1:9, he that confesses his sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. Confess your sins before God. Go to him and God says, you know, he that cometh me, I will in no wise cast out. God's a God of mercy and a God of love and God of long suffering. God wants you to come back. Don't face the storms of life without God. You don't have to turn there, but if you look in Mark chapter number 4, there was another illustration of where the disciples were on a ship and they were going over the sea, and Jesus was on the boat that time. And they were going over the sea, and he says, let us pass over to the other side. And they were hit a storm, but the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 36, they were with them other little ships. And what stands out with me with that, they were in the same storm and the same sea, but Jesus was on one ship, which means they were out there without God. They were out there without God on their ship, without Jesus on their ship. Don't go through the storms of life without God on your ship. You might not be going through a storm now, but you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what tomorrow holds. I plead with you. Come back to God. I plead with you. You want God's presence. You want God to make himself manifest to you. Because our lives, that's what it is. A few days and full of trouble. So I said, number one, God's presence came in a time of trouble. God's presence came when they were where they ought to be. And I want to say, number three, I see from these passages of Scripture and many times in the Bible, God's presence, or God wanted his presence to be with them. Why else would God have walked on that sea in that storm and says he would have passed by them? Why did he walk close to them? Why? Because he wanted them to want him. He wanted them to see him. He wanted them to look to him in spite of the storm, even though they got fearful, even though they thought it was his spirit, and he spoke up and says, you know, be not afraid, it is I. Why else did he come to Mary Magdalene and walk up unto her and says, why are you weeping? Why weepest thou? She didn't know who he was, but he called out to her, Mary. She heard that voice of the love in his voice and knew, that's him. It's my Lord. I see from this that God wanted to be with them. So take those three points. I'm going to give you two sub-points on how not to miss God in the storm. Don't miss God in the storm. So I'm going to say, number one, look for God in the storm. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake thee. So when you're in that storm of life, and you're where you ought to be, you're doing right. Again, the storms come when God sends you. God sent them on the ship and the storm came. They were doing what they ought to be doing. And you can look into your life and you say, you know what? I'm right with God. I'm right where I ought to be. I'm doing what I ought to be. I'm doing what God sent me to do. And this storm came in my life. And I don't see God. Keep looking. God promises he'll never leave us nor forsake thee. And God came into them in their storms. And God's going to come to you in your storm. But you got to look for him. If those disciples kept focusing on the storm and kept focusing on rowing and kept focusing and they didn't see Jesus walking, the Bible says he would have passed by them. If they wasn't looking, he would have passed by them. But it clearly says in Mark 6 that they all saw him. They all saw him and cried out. Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus in the fire. And we could just take from the Scripture, though it doesn't say, we could just take the Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego saw him too. They were right there with him. If they didn't see him physically like Nebuchadnezzar did, I'm sure they felt his presence because they wasn't being burned. They didn't have fire to smell the smoke on them. God was protecting them, so they knew he was there if it didn't see him. Those two disciples, when Jesus spoke with them, if you go back and read the account, he came in unto them because they pleaded with him to stay with him. As he said, he would have made as he would have gone on farther. But they pleaded with him to come in. And he said he sat down with them. And then he took bread and was serving them. He broke the bread and handed it to them. And the Bible says their eyes were open. They knew who it was because I believe they saw the piercings in his hands. As he was handing them the bread, as he broke it, was handing it to them, they saw him. They saw his hands as he broke the bread. So I say, number one, look for God in the storm. Number two, listen for God's voice. Sometimes you might not see him clearly, but like Mary, when she heard him call her name, she said, that's him. She heard her name. She heard God speak. Disciples heard him say, be not afraid, it is I. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, they heard him as he taught and as he spoke with them, and after they realized it was him, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us? They were hearing his voice, and at first they didn't realize whose voice it was they were hearing. But after it dawned on them, they said it was him. That's why our hearts were burning. He was speaking to us. So I'll say, Don't miss God in a storm. Look for him. He's there. If you can't see clearly through the wind and through the storms of life, listen. Get in his word. Allow God to speak to you. God wants to be there. God wants to be present through your storms. Allow God to be. Don't miss him. I thought, you know, such a tragic, and I'm so glad in the scripture that didn't take place. But such a tragedy would be someone to go through their life and be in that storm of life and face it not knowing God's there. To weep and to lay your head on your pillow without the calming presence of God saying, "Be not afraid, it is I." To call, to hear God as Mary heard, sweetly calling your name, Mary. And she turned around and said, "Rabboni." She knew it was him. Listen for God. Be watching for God. We're going to face storms in life, and I know there's people that are facing them now. I pray that God's presence and God's manifest himself to you through that storm, that you know, yeah, you're still in a storm, but God's with me. And he's going to see me through. He's going to bring me to the other side. Don't miss him. Don't miss God in the storm. I pray that you might have got us some help like I did. God has been speaking to my heart. As I mentioned, just those passages of scripture, just wondering, why God? Why did you put this here? Why did you word it this way? And I realized that it could be so easy for that story to turn a different way to say, and he passed on by them without them seeing him. And those disciples on the road to Emmaus, says he kept going and went on further. But I pray your story would be the same as theirs. You listened, you watched, and you realized he's there all the time. He's there with me. He never leave me nor forsake me. And when you come through the end of the storm, you come out the other side, you'll be stronger. And your faith would increase, and you realize we serve a good God. I pray you realize it in the storm. We serve a good, loving, gracious God, because he is good. I want to thank you for tuning in. Again, I trust that you got some help. Take and read those passages of Scripture. And let God just read them in full. We briefly hit parts of them. Read them in full. Let God speak to you through them. How he's there. And many, many more. I pray that God would open more of his word to you and show you. See, I was there during this time. I was there during that time. When they were going through this, I was right there with them. To just increase your faith, that know that God's going to be right with you. I encourage you, come on out Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. We'll have our service here. Again, there'll be ushers and the greeters that were there. They would direct you how to park us. So come on out, weather permitting. If anything changes, be watching our website as well as our Facebook page or any announcements. If impending weather may come, that we might have to make some changes to that. But just either way, you'd be able to tune in on live stream it, even if we have it out here or not. But 11 o'clock. Those that weren't aware, our Sunday school hours changed and moved back to 9:45 to allow time for people to get here to the 11 o'clock service, because now we have to add in drive time. So 9:45 to 10:15 would be our Sunday school time for those that want to tune in for our children's Sunday school on Sunday morning, and then 11 o'clock. And then this Sunday, as was mentioned already, we're going to have a, Lord willing, we'll have a p.m. drive-in service also. So 11 o'clock and then 10 o'clock. So continue praying for our pastor that he'll be able to be here for that. We're going to pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you again for all you do for us, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you that I can boldly say, Lord, that you are our helper. Lord, I thank you that I can know in my heart, Lord, that you're with me always, Lord. But it's those times that you reveal yourself and you manifest yourself to us, God, that we need. We need your presence, God. And I pray, Lord, for our church family and those that are listening, Lord. I pray that they would draw nigh to you. As you told us, you will draw nigh to us. Lord, be with our church family. Continue to bless us and help us to stay faithful to you. Stay faithful witnesses, even though things are being a little more difficult, a little harder for us to be a witness and to be able to go out. We knock on doors, but you'll be faithful to give us new opportunities. I pray that we would be attentive to those opportunities that you lead our way for us to be a witness for you. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. God, you are a good God. You're so good to us. Lord, we just want to bless your holy name. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you for tuning in.